Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterman here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining me and Dr. Henry Cloud here today on New Life Live. Hi, Steve Arterman here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I've been listening for a couple of years now, and I really appreciate the loving way that you help people.
Hey, listen, yes. If you were a weirdo before you became a Christian, guess what? You are a weirdo today. It doesn't instantly change your character.
And today, I took it a step further, and I actually went to a strip club, sat there for about 10 minutes, and thought, what am I doing?
Now, I just want you to notice something that Henry was saying to you, okay?
Okay.
He used the two strokes and a poke method. Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. And we're so glad that you've joined us here today on New Life Live. We do need your help. One of the great things that supports this ministry is when a person joins Club New Life. And I'm wondering if that person might be you today. I'll send you the Take Your Life Back devotional as a way of saying thank you and a flash drive of some popular segments from New Life TV. But please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com because we need your help. And Club New Life is just that amazing group of people that provide that monthly support. And I think you'll really like this devotional, 365 days, and I think it's the best devotional that we've done. And here's the man who's helped heal a whole lot of hurts, Dr. Henry Cloud. Hey, Henry.
Hi, Stevie.
How are you?
I'm pretty well, thanks.
Henry, we're approaching summer. You know, it's just coming up. And any suggestions for people as they go into summer and starting to experience maybe a little more freedom or a little different dynamic in their life? Any thoughts on summer from you?
Thoughts on summer. These mm-hmm. like deep thoughts.
Yeah.
What was his name? Something handy.
Handyman?
No. The guy on Saturday Night Live. What was his name? Deep Thoughts by somebody. Anyway.
I don't know.
Sorry. Inhaled a pretzel.
It's okay.
I have some thoughts on summer.
Okay.
I have some deep thoughts on summer. One of the dangers in summer, actually, is that it has a lot of promise of, new activity and
right.
new sunshine and going to the beach or going to the lake or going and doing all the stuff. And like people who use stuff like that, you know, as a defense will do, when you're looking at summer to overcome the ails of where you are in spring,
right.
it's not going to do it and you're going to be back there in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, if whatever you're dealing with in life you're not dealing with, don't just, you know, put it off thinking the summer's going to make you happy. That's what I would say.
Okay. Well, you know, I think summer is a great opportunity for connection. Because a lot of times we got kids, we got exposure to kids, time with kids that we, you know, we just haven't had before. And I think if we could go, everybody go into summer and saying, I'm going to do what I can to connect in any way that I can with my kids. Or if I don't have kids, I'm going to try to find some kids that I can connect with. I think it could be the best summer versus, you know, kind of the selfish kind of thing. I'm just going to walk around with my cell phone on like yours. But let's do some stuff and make our kids a priority this summer and see what happens. It could be life-changing for your kids.
That is true.
Well, let's
also, if you don't have kids and you're out there and you got the summer looking at you, there's some single mom out there that's drowning.
Yep.
And need some time, give some time. Go give her a break. Or even a married mom. People need a break.
It'd be a good thing. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll go right to your phone calls. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you need a resource, we are there for you. And then also,
Restore is coming up on July the 14th, and then Mylon and I'll be at the Intimacy in Marriage weekend in Washington, D.C. on the 21st.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County July 14th through the 16th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. And if you want to talk with us, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Actually, you'll be talking with someone who is there wanting to take your call and help you find the best resource available. Let's go to Sean in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Sean listens to WPNW. Hey, Sean, welcome to New Life.
Thank you.
Hi.
Well, my question is, over 7 years ago, I lost a great deal or a great part of my eyesight, which has left me legally blind.
Mm.
And due to that, I kind of did what I had to do to keep going. But listening to your show, I have realized that I have not grieved the loss of my dreams and different things. And so I guess my question is, on a day-to-day basis, what are some things that I need to do to be on the grief process?
Mm. Are you working with anybody?
No, I'm not. I've prayed about it and talked about it in a small group and stuff, but not really working with anybody.
Okay.
Sean, what were the practical changes in your life? What were you doing when you could see and when you became blind? What did you have to give up and what did you have to do now? And
Had to give up full-time working, and right now I stay at home, take care of the kids. So as far as being the main breadwinner and some of my dreams of where my career I wanted to take it.
What was that?
Well, one of them was photography. I wanted to be a photojournalist.
Oh, well.
Hmm.
So it's like that even a tough dream that's specifically related to sin.
Yes.
Gosh, that's so brutal.
Hmm.
Well, Sean, in general, whenever you think about grieving, and it's probably one of the reasons why you're kind of not quite through with it, grieving is a letting go process. So if you think about letting go, obviously, you got to be held up if you're going to let go or you fall.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is if there's nothing to fall into, you can't just fall into empty space. And so that tends to be the biggest problem in inability to grieve, is there's no one or nobody, no place, no space, no time, no care, no support to fall into so you can begin to break down and let go. And so what I would do is look at it that way, that grief is going to follow your finding a place and a space and support and care and grace and love that you can kind of fall into, and the people are there and connecting to your heart and holding you up. The other big piece, or a couple of big pieces, the other big piece is the structure for grief. That grief, you got to have a process to it, a structure where you're adding, talking to it and going to a time and a place to work on this, and where, it's a focus. And that's why, for example, a regular counseling appointment or a regular group that's focused on grief, that has a structure around the concept, and that's what you're there to talk about. That would be very helpful. Thirdly, I think that you have to get into the symbolic meaning of whatever it is you've lost. And for you, the symbolism of your sight, apart from the reality of losing your sight, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the real loss of what you wanted to do, and what it represents to you symbolically is your role as a provider, and that gets into your worth and your strength, and are you still lovable, and you know, how do you make yourself valuable? Even though all those things are true, you're still worthy and valuable and wanted and loved. Because you have so much invested in what you lost, you might not feel that you are, and that gets into a lot of pain. And so you just begin to talk out those issues with somebody that understands, and I'd do it in a very structured way. I'd find a good grief group or a good counselor, and not only the support group, even though you need that as well. And then the fourth piece is obviously the reinventing of yourself.
Mm.
And that's the resurrection that follows the death. But usually when you go into the grief, you do begin to find new parts of yourself that are apart from the things that you were connected to previously, like your old dream.
Okay.
And give yourself a break. Don't expect to get over it quickly. Don't expect to get through it quickly. Be patient with yourself and loving to yourself, too.
And another thing that might help along those lines is if it's possible in your area, you know, and in a town as large as yours, there should be something like this, where you are doing something with other people who are blind, and where there's a commonality of experience. And that does a lot of good things for us when we're with people who suffer the same thing.
Hmm. All right. I appreciate your phone call. And, you know, we've got some great, great books that are on CDs and stuff. I'm going to send those to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
And so grateful for your call, and God bless you. And I'll ask folks to be praying for you, that this will be a, you know, not the end of your life, but the beginning of a new life, and with new opportunities, so different than what you've experienced, but always tough to adjust to these kinds of realities. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, you can call us there. And don't forget to pray for Sean. Let's go to Dwayne. He's calling from Anaheim, listens to KKLA. Hi, Dwayne. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I feel I'm in a rescuing type relationship, and I'm just wondering what protocol do you gentlemen have in knowing that this individual that I'm currently dating is ready to date?
Okay, you're in a relationship, and you think you're rescuing her.
Correct.
From what?
She met her in a singles group, and she's been separated for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Husband left her for another man.
Wow.
She feels she's ready to move on, and she's not really completely divorced.
Mm-hmm. Why?
The husband keeps on throwing a wrench into the divorce proceedings and wants more equity out of the home.
So she's holding on for money?
She wants it to... Well, yes, in a way she is, because she wants the property in her name. She wants to feel secure with her children, and plus, she doesn't have an identity in the workforce, and I just feel she's using me for, not using me, that's the wrong term to say, she's relying on me for support in a sort of an unhealthy way, and I'm really feeling uncomfortable with that.
Well, that's a big thing. You know, it's really good that you feel uncomfortable with it. And what you want is not to be callous to somebody's needs. There's nothing wrong with people coming together, you know, when somebody's in a struggle and getting to know one another and be friends and this, that, and the other. But Dwayne, first of all, she's not divorced.
Correct.
You know, so she's not finished.
Correct.
And so if you want to be a friend to her, be a friend to her and say, look, I just want to be friends, you know, until you're kind of know what you're doing and done and you know, on your own two feet. You know, even if she weren't in this prolonged kind of separation thing, Dwayne, to me, another big red flag is whenever you come across somebody, you know, that you're looking to date and they don't have a complete life with their own support system and friends and vibrant energy
right.
and life and health and blossoms of fruit all over the place.
Correct.
Then what you're doing is, you know, you got to figure out who's the tick and who's the dog. You know.
And I see that. I see that very often because her support group is her exercise group. And I keep on suggesting, you know, to jump into a support group in church. And she's nervous about that. She doesn't want to take that step forward. And I feel that I have to, you know, give her the helping hand. And it just makes me very uneasy and comfortable.
It should. You know, if this thing got serious, you want a wife that you have to break into a sprint to keep up with in terms of growth.
Oh, and I agree with that. It's just
you have to push.
And she's, you know, I feel like I'm being dragged down.
Well, have you told her that?
And she disagrees. She says, be patient with me. I'm still getting it together, and please don't reject me. And so she has rejection issues from her past. I may be doing her a favor.
Well, you don't have to try to make it good. You know, it's going to be painful, but it's not a rejection. I would say, you know, I am not rejecting you. I'm rejecting a role of dating and getting into a serious relationship that's not good for me. And I don't really believe that it's good for you either, Susie. But I'm not rejecting you as a person. Mm-hmm. I'm saying no to dating you. And if you want to see that as a rejection, then you can do that. But if you do, what you have to understand is what I'm rejecting is signing up to be in a mutual relationship where you're not doing the things in life that I want somebody to be doing. And so I'm looking for somebody who is doing the things that I'm describing. And when you're doing those things, give me a call.
That's correct. It's just a form of, I feel like, the response I get is that, well, you're judging me.
That she says that?
Correct.
Well, you know what? I am evaluating you. That's what dating is.
Right.
Do you want a blind lottery ticket to marry?
Absolutely not.
Dating is looking at each other's lives and seeing if what is somebody else brings is something that you want to hitch your wagon to for life. And what you're saying is, very lovingly, what I see is not what I want to hitch my wagon to.
Hey, Dwayne.
And that is evaluating. Great.
Dwayne,
call her what it is.
You want to have a person that will help you work on your problems, work with you on your problems, collect information about you, say, hey, you know, let me help you here or there. You want to be a team on that. And you want to be a team with her, too. You've collected information. You're giving her the information. You guys want to work as a team to move her on. And every time you try to work as a team to kind of move her down the line there a little bit, you get hit with judgment and don't reject and things like that. You got to say, hey, you know, once married, this might be the same kind of pattern that I would be in. So the question is, does she get out of this pattern or stay in the pattern?
And
talk to her about it and invite her out of that pattern.
I have, and I'm getting resistant.
Yeah.
It's kind of passive, and it's making me more and more nervous and very uneasy.
Okay.
Like,
so, Dwayne, what inside of you is saying, is keeping you from saying, you know what, this is not a good situation. I could be a friend or support to her, but I don't want to date her. And say that and pull the tooth.
I did that 2 months ago, and she just pursued me to no end and said,
she pursued you to some end. She pursued you to your agreeing to get back into it.
Right, right. And I'm really sorry I did it. And so I'm regretting my decision.
She pursued you to a new beginning.
Correct. And it's still the old beginning again.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have a country and western song on a CD, you can play it over and over again.
Thank you.
Okay, Dwayne.
Hey, we're going to send you Boundaries in Dating. And it'll tell you how to do this.
Thank you.
Or Boundaries Face to Face has a specific conversation.
I got both books.
There you go.
I got both books.
It's right in there.
Okay.
Take care.
Let me
Bye-bye.
Send you Every Man God's Man then.
Oh, that's even better.
I think so. Okay, Dwayne, hold on. And we'll send that to you. All right. You know, it's tough. I mean, you don't want to throw a relationship away. You want to give people time. You don't want to be impatient. But you really got to look at what's the pattern that's being established and Both people got to be willing to work on their stuff.
But can I clarify something about dating?
Please do.
When you're talking about, you know, you don't want to be impatient, you want to give the person a chance, this, that, and the other, make sure when you're talking about dating, when you're saying give someone a chance, this isn't something, some sort of benevolent act of charity. You need to give them a chance like you were giving somebody a chance, you know, that for a job or in life or something like this. If you want to give somebody a chance in dating, what the basis of that question has to be, I need to give myself a chance to give this time. This may deserve more time because I might miss out on a really good person here.
Yeah.
Because in dating, what you're doing is you are evaluating. That's not judging. You're evaluating a person in terms of God's will for you, in terms of where you want to go in life and your values and this, that, and the other. And it is a decision for yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to go into it that way.
Good point. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more phone calls here today on New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
We both brought childhood wounds into our marriage of 50 years plus.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 21st to the 23rd.
We had a low level of conflict resolution. We knew what it was, but we didn't always practice it.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I leave here with new growth tools. I also leave here with new hope that our marriage will get better and better.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I would just kind of be paralyzed sometimes. I would just stay home. I would kind of sit in a chair and just kind of write or maybe talk to my wife a little bit, but I just wasn't living a fulfilled life. I'm a recovering addict, and so I'm always looking for a quick fix. What Christian counseling has done for me is made me realize it's the journey that's the important thing.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
You don't want to shortchange yourself. Counselors are so good at helping you to see patterns in your life that you've never seen before.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. Henry Cloud. We're going to go to India, who lives in Dallas, KWRD. Hi, India.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
I wish I was going to India. I love India. What part of India are you from?
I'm not.
What a beautiful name. Your parents named you India.
Yes, sir.
It's beautiful.
How are you doing today?
We're okay.
Well, my question is, I just turned 20 years old. I'm currently 9 months pregnant. I am not married to the father of my child. And me and the father of the child are experiencing some difficulties. I'm a high-risk pregnancy. I need to know, do I need to distance myself from him? Because I'm afraid that he is envious of me because I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
I go to school. And I just don't know what the problem is.
All right. Okay, let me ask you this. Who have you talked to? Who's working with you on this?
I made an appointment with my pastor, but I have not yet been able to get with him. And I've been waiting for like a week and a half. So I just had to talk to someone. I was turned on by a friend on your station. Mm-hmm. She turned me on. And I've just been really trying to talk to somebody because it's just, it's wearing me down physically, emotionally. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Now, did you say that you guys live together?
No, sir, we don't.
You don't live together.
What did you mean when you said you're having difficulties? Is he in the picture? And
That's okay, he's in and out. He's like, one second he'll be in the picture, and then the next when he find out, like, when I got this job that I'm at currently at, it's like, I guess he's jealous, or I don't know what his problem is. I really don't. And, like, I try to encourage him to go to school, to get a job, and he comes up with excuses after excuse after excuse. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I need to distance myself. I've been going to church. I need mm-hmm. some encouragement, some guidance. Well,
distance yourself towards what end?
Like, because I'm already a high-risk pregnancy, and I don't want to put myself in an emotional strain
uh-huh.
and danger my child
right.
as well as myself.
I see. Okay. Oh, gosh. Indy, I think you need some good counseling.
I agree.
with people specifically, you know, go find a good Christian pregnancy center
uh-huh.
that help people work through these kinds of issues, and that also have attached resources like groups that maybe he could join if he is going to come around.
Uh-huh.
But in general, especially during the pregnancy, you know, obviously your baby's life and welfare, you know, and your life and welfare have to be the front of the focus here.
Exactly.
And also, you know, to say to him, look, I would love to have you involved because I need help.
Uh-huh.
I would love to have you involved because I need support. I would love to have you involved because I need money.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have you involved because this baby needs an involved, responsible father. But what I don't need is more problems.
Exactly.
And so when you can get to, you know, where you want to contribute, then we can be doing some stuff together.
Now, India, you didn't think that when you called up and told us this story that we were going to say to you anything different than it's okay to distance yourself from someone who could end up, you know, causing a problem with your pregnancy, did you?
No, I didn't. I just need to hear it from someone.
Well, but you need to do it with structure. See, you don't want to distance just to distance. You want to distance
mm-hmm.
not only to protect yourself, but also that it might become a tool and a motivator for him to get his act together.
That's what I was thinking, because he doesn't call. He'll go, I'll say, about weeks or 2 to 3 weeks without calling to see how I'm doing, and he mm-hmm. expects me to call him.
Yeah.
But he won't call me.
Well, so what we're saying is maybe first there's an invitation where uh-huh. you're expressing to him what you'd love and inviting him to be part of this in a healthy way.
Uh-huh.
But then when his response isn't what it needs to be, then you need to protect yourself and your baby.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Because I've been doing a lot. I mean, I go to church. I just...
Hmm.
Trying to get myself grounded the right way.
Well, we...
And you're getting a lot of support, India?
Yes, sir. My mother, she's behind me 100%.
How about friends and...
My coworkers, the older. Yeah.
And, you know, there's a pregnancy center near you that'd probably love to meet you and if you need anything.
A pregnancy center?
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. I mean, they provide clothes and just all sorts of great services to folks in your situation.
And so, support and instruction.
Bet.
And they answer questions like this and give you advice and share it with other women who are in your same boat.
You end up feeling like, I got somebody on my team other than just mom or another
uh-huh.
friend. You get a whole coalition of people there. So I encourage you to look up... I mean, if you just type in pregnancy center in your area, you would probably find some great resources, or crisis pregnancy center, or CareNet
uh-huh.
Is another. CareNet.org, I think, is a great place to go.
CareNet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, India.
Uh-huh.
What advice would you have to other 20-year-olds who have guys that wanting them to sleep with them?
My advice is, please don't do it. Wait till,
yeah.
oh my God, do things the right way.
And then... Mm-hmm. These guys aren't take-home material a lot of times.
It's not that serious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just a handful of stress.
Well, God bless you.
We support you.
All right, I'm going to send you two things. I'm going to send you John and Henry's book, Raising Great Kids. And the other one is Touch Points for Hurting People. This is by Tyndale Publishers. It's a scripture guide on so many different topics. You'll love this little handbook, Touch Points for Hurting People. We're taking a break. Come back. we do have Every Man's Battle coming up July 14th in Jacksonville. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about it.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip. And that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the Every Man's Battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in the large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, and glad that you've joined us here today on New Life. Let's go to Rhonda, who's calling us from Richardson, Texas. Rhonda listens to KWRD. Hi, Rhonda. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
This is Rhonda. I was calling. I have a 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Who has been sexually harassed when she was 8 years old.
What do you mean sexually harassed?
Sexually assaulted by her brother, which is on her father's side.
Okay.
And she's been acting out more or less.
She's sexually active then?
Yes,
okay.
More or less. And she's been skipping school for the last past 3 days.
Okay.
And I just found out, she has skipped twice, and like the same week that she turned around, she skipped like last Thursday. She got caught in a boy's house, which we looked all over the neighborhood and everything for, and we could not find her anywhere. And finally, when she did come home, she had to wait till the little boy's mother and father go to sleep in order for her to get out of the house. And so when she finally came home, then, you know, she lied. You know, she's been doing a lot of that as well, lying.
Now, what kind of discipline is implemented when she does things like that?
Well, this here just happened. As far as this just happened, she's not allowed to use the phone, period. All her privileges has been taken away from her.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what's your question for us?
I need to know what procedures or anything I can go through in order to get her some help as far as counseling.
Well, Rhonda, we can do that because the area you're in, there's a lot of resources. We can just make a referral for you.
Okay.
And in general, you know, when people need counseling, you call an organization like ours that has, you know, a lot of contacts everywhere, or you go to your local pastor and ask him who mm-hmm. he has good experience with over years, or a doctor or somebody. You want to talk
well,
to somebody.
We have seen counseling when it first happened. Yeah. We had seen counseling and we thought maybe she was doing better.
Well, you know, that's very, very possible. But a lot of times what happens is with you know, molestations and sexual assaults, I don't know what all happened to her, but a lot of that stuff doesn't surface until later. And sometimes there can be post-traumatic stress that comes later and acting out and impulsivity and depression and flashbacks and a bunch of other things. And so she could have been doing very well, and she's just at the next phase of healing. But what you do have to do is to, you know, gather the forces around her to contain this acting out. And probably, you know, even though it's good that you've grounded her and she's losing some privileges, it's got to be more than that because she's engaging in some dangerous behavior.
Yes.
And what you've got to do is you've got to kind of find her heart in all of this.
Okay.
You know, it's not just the rules, but it's the rules in the context of the connection.
Okay, because her and I have been talking. I've even taken her to the doctor since that happened.
And is she telling you about why she's doing this or what she's doing? Or
well, no, she like lied about the whole deal. She lied, and we called a meeting, me and her mother, mm-hmm. with her. It wasn't just her. It was like a couple of little boys. It's like all together, it was like that particular day, four of them. It was her and three other boys who shot Hooky, and they was in like one of the little boys' house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to get the whole story, and if she lies to you there, then you need that. That's the context you need a counselor with, because they know how to draw things out and find out kind of what the breach is and why she's not telling the truth with you, and maybe she'll tell the truth to somebody else, and the whole, you know. So the best thing to do is get her some good counseling.
Okay, because she was seeing counseling just recently. I started her back to seeing counseling, and she started lying to the counselor as well.
Well, the counselor ought to be able to deal with that, and if he or she doesn't have the kind of experience with adolescents who lie, then you notch it up, you know, a notch and get a second opinion, or you find somebody that does. And sometimes you might need to go to some sort of residential placement for a while, something where, you know, she can't get away. And she's watched, and where you nip this behavior in the bud.
I would be heading on down to the school there and setting up a meeting with the people at the school, the counselor, teachers, things like that, and seeing what they suggest. And like Henry's saying there, and that might truly lead to the next step of maybe it's a home away from home for a while. Get her out of that environment, because that does not look good at all. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We've got Christian counselors everywhere. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Ty, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Ty. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was calling to find out exactly what is an addiction to pornography.
Addiction to pornography versus just using it?
Well, okay, I guess I should say what is. I know what pornography is, but, like, for instance, I like to read romance novels.
You like to read romance novels, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I usually do it when I've been stressed out, and, like, I'm a pre-med student, and I have three children, a husband, and a dog.
Wow. So you're stressed out almost every day.
All the time. And what happens, and, well, I guess the reason I'm asking is, lately, I'm so out of it. I have no time for myself. So what I do is you can't just do a lot of different things. So what I do is I pick up a romance novel and I just get lost in that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right now I'm so burned out that they've actually asked me to take a medical leave from school because of the stress. I have a lot of stuff going on. But all I want to do is just read because I don't have to think. You understand? I don't have to think. I don't have to do formulas. I don't have to take a test. When I'm reading the book, I'm just reading the book. Do you understand?
Right.
And so it's kind of like,
are you just reading the book? Or are you identifying with the fantasy and all the things in the book that you don't have in your life and stuff like that?
No, it's just at that moment, I just don't feel like thinking.
Well, there's a lot of ways to not think. I mean, what kind of romance novel is it?
I like historical romance novels. I can't talk English right now.
Pick another language.
I can speak it in Japanese and in Spanish.
So are they pornographic?
I skip over all those parts. I just like the history part, and I like the part that the two characters are into each other.
Well, you know what? Henry's kind of hitting on a little issue here, and that is that if you're fulfilling things through the books that you could be in real life or that you feel like you're missing, you know, it's an indication it could be a problem. Right. But here's the other thing. It could just be a time killer that is also kind of numbing your mind versus leading you to more connection with someone. It might be a way, you know, rather than reading some things, it could help build you up and help you grow spiritually. It might be something that kind of tears you down a little bit, because most romance novels are pretty trashy stuff. I wrote a book, Addicted to Love, where I addressed this issue just like I addressed the issue of pornography with men. Because in many ways, it really is the same thing. It's kind of like men that say they read Playboy for the articles. But
right.
when they're turning the pages, there's some pictures there, too. Well, it's
right.
Like you say, well, I just kind of skip over that stuff. But I'm just, you know, I think exposure to that kind of explicit sex really can lead you dissatisfied with all other sexual experiences, because nothing can live up to that or the way these men operate in these books.
Oh, well, that's true. But see, in that area, that's not an issue between my husband and I. Like I said, it's just more a matter of I feel a lot of pressure going on, a lot of demands.
Yeah. Look, just stop for a second, okay?
Uh-huh.
Whenever you're under pressure and under demands, obviously you need to get away. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were out getting away, taking some time off, you go for a walk, you go to the beach, you go for a stroll in a meadow out there in Georgia, you go ride a horse, you go play with some kids, you go throw the football, throw the frisbee, you play tennis. Okay? Now, you didn't call us and say, I got a hectic, chaotic life with a lot of stuff going on, and sometimes I just need to get away and go for a walk. Do you think that's a problem? That's not what you did. So there's something about what's going on with you, and these, not unless you think taking a break, there's something wrong with taking a break. No, there's not something wrong with taking a break. You're supposed to have a Sabbath experience every week.
And you know
but
what?
What's going on when you're taking a break is our question.
And there now are Christian romance novels that are healthy novels. You read one of those, and if they just leave you dry.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. And we're going to send off Every Woman's Battle. I think that'll be helpful there. And along with Addicted to Love, another book that'll be helpful there. And really hope that you find the rest and relaxation that you need outside of, you know, all the stuff. I mean, you're really doing a lot of work there.
Steve, I just wanted to comment, too. We probably let her go a little too soon because I was reminded of, she also said she was asked to take a medical leave from school. And if things are happening in your that are the stress is getting to a place where it's interfering with functioning enough to where people are noticing that, then the romance novels are not your problem. I mean, you're at least overextended, and if not just overextended, there's some underlying kind of cracks in the foundation that you need to be healed of. And probably the romance novels are a way of not just getting away from it all, but covering up some things. And if they're asking you to take a medical leave, something's going on. You need some help.
Okay. Very good. Ty, I hope that's helpful to you. God bless you there.
Let me remind you, Every Man's Battle is on July the 14th in Jacksonville in Orange County. It's Restore that same weekend, July the 14th. Oh, my goodness. Please, please call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Don't let money stand in the way, especially Restore. We have scholarships for you. I know sometimes that can be really tough. Intimacy in Marriage is July the 21st. And Take Your Life Back, Dr. Dave Stoop and myself in D.C. on September the 8th. We would love to see you there. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I mentioned our struggle for the summer. We need your help. I'll send you the brand new book, The Mediterranean Love Plant. It is a great one, one of the best I've done. I did it with my wife, Seven Secrets from the Mediterranean. You'll love this book. It's our way of saying thank you for a gift of any amount.
Let's go to Renee from Washington, D.C., listens to WAVA. Hi, Renee. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I love your show, and I'm a Club New Lifer.
Great. Thank you. You're the reason we're on the air then.
Yeah, great. I have a situation I wanted you all's opinion on.
Okay.
I have a boyfriend. We've known each other for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he has recently, we had a discussion sort of about where things are going. And he suffers from depression. And he told me that he wanted me to get my anxiety issue addressed. He said that he definitely does not want a wife who would be a nag, particularly because of his depression issues, and he wonders if the stresses of a family and, you know, a marriage would create
Renee,
that situation.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
Can you go back to what you said right before that? He said what?
He wanted me to see someone to address my anxiety issue.
Because he didn't want to deal with this after you're married.
Well, I suppose he wants to avoid being in a situation where it's uncontrollable and
okay.
I wound up stressed out all the time and I'm, you know, nagging and stressed. That's as much as I can gather, at least.
Okay. And how do anxiety and nagging go together?
I suppose when you're, maybe it's not meant to be taken literally, but I suppose when you're stressed or when I'm stressed, or perhaps he sees the two going together with me, you know, when you're stressed, you tend to, you know, fuss a little bit more.
Well, not always. I mean, is that what you do? I mean, some people, when they get anxious, for example, in a relationship, they withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest concern the other person has is, I don't mind your anxiety, but it's that, you know, you sort of go into a hole and never talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, it sounds like he's either thinking or that you do when you're you're anxious, you kind of like, sort of like the person that's drowning and somebody, you know, jumps in to help them, they sort of, you know, jump all over them and cling to them and kind of drown them too?
I'm not sure.
Is that what he's saying?
Perhaps. I guess he's saying that he needs someone with a, you know, that's going to be able to have a positive outlook. I know he mentioned that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, let me give you a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Here's kind of the big issue I think you want to look at. Is his question, if we decode his question, is his question, I want a wife who's just no trouble. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with a real human being who has issues, like they get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If that's what he's asking, then, you know, he's got to go to another planet.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
Okay. Or is there a real way in which your way of dealing with your anxiety and stuff is somehow kind of an overdependency, and you kind of get, you know, sort of in his face or something where it really is an issue? And you've got to determine that.
Okay.
That's a big question, because it's not good for you to be doing that anyway.
Right. Okay.
But the big danger, too, I think what you're kind of pointing to also, Henry, is that the other thing is that if he's saying to her, hey, be sure and take care of all your problems here so that when we get married, you're not a problem to me, well, that's a real big problem.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I see as a problem as well.
Yeah, and it's for better and worse, and I would also ask, why 3 years?
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm asking the same question.
Who's dragging their feet here?
Yeah, I should give you a little bit of background. We started dating 3 years ago for about a year or so, and we broke up not knowing that he was suffering from depression, and he had a lot of things that were impacting his life that we couldn't really understand what it was. We've just recently found out in January that at least part of the problem, or a big part of the problem, is depression.
Okay.
Started dating.
Well,
so.
I am out of time, but let me send you our book, Avoiding Mr. Wrong. I hope that'll be of help to you.
And one final thought. Your big key is for both of you to get a handle on your individual emotional problems so that you don't kind of need the other one in order to be in control of those. And then you can come together as two mutually satisfying to each other adults who bring something to the relationship.
Very important there. Thank you for your phone call. And anybody else interested in Avoiding Mr. Wrong or any of the Boundaries books written by John and Henry, or the Everyman's Battle books, they're all available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And when you order from 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you know, you really do support this ministry. It's a big part of how we pay the bills around here is from those resources that are purchased at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So call us. And, you know, the main thing is that we've got these people that are at our call center in Dallas. That's where we're located. We do the show out here, and then we do our call center in Dallas, and they'll find a counselor for you. They want to have a resource for you. They really are committed, dedicated, and they want to be there when you need them and find that place where you can get the best help. And we're so excited about the network of counselors that we have. You know, we credential them. We look into what they're doing, their background. A lot of people can say that they're just a Christian counselor, but in reality, you know, there's not much Christian about them. And so we try to take care of that for you so you can trust the people that we refer you to that are within our network. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to be part of that. You know, every day we talk about people with problems here, and here's the one thing that we believe God can give you through all of these problems, and that is hope. You never have to experience despair. God gives you hope. It's His promise. You know, you can always find the hope there when your trust is in God. If you truly believe there's a God that made you and has a purpose for your life, no matter how deep or dark that hour is, you know, God may not be there in a form that you can touch or feel, but know that He's there. It may feel like He's withdrawn Himself from you, but know that He is there, and He's going to take whatever difficulty you're going through, He's going to work that out into something far beyond anything you could imagine. That's what we believe around here, and that's what we're trusting God for in your life. No matter what the problem is, God's going to use it to build you and grow you up if you'll let Him do that. See you here again tomorrow on New Life Live. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.